Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 167 of the Ant King Frequency. We're barely, 10 seconds in and already Larry's shaking his head at me. How are you, Larry?
I'm okay, man. I'm very okay. I found out that the 1981 Disney film, back when they were not doing so great, Condor Man.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Yeah, I hate Condor Man because I had to do a commission, Condor Man, traditional commission, on paper. And if you ever look at the character, I was like, I could do this. Looking at the character, thinking, this shouldn't be too hard. Thinking in my digital commission mind where I could do multiple layers and do, do a blue layer for pencils, tighten things up, then ink it. And if I screw up, Control Z.
Oh, there's a lot of
line work.
Can't
really do that on paper.
Yeah.
So I did it. Let me show it to you. This is the final result.
That looks good.
Yeah, over Istanbul, something like Midnight Express.
Opium.
No, it was not opium. It was something else. It was in full packs. It was smokable stuff. But
what did he do, Condor Man? He just had a glider apparatus, didn't he?
Yeah, he's just like a flying man. And that's it, because of a glider, kind of like the wing things. And I'm like, this would be easy. No, it wasn't, but I did it. That's all that matters. But this is why I like doing digital. Digital commissions are much easier.
So he had no powers.
He was a comic artist, comic writer artist.
Was he a secret agent or something? Or
yeah, he was a comic writer artist who was recruited by the CIA. So. Right. Yeah, so it's like apparently one of the editors of Marvel, Steve Wacker, was trying to make Condor Man, bring Condor Man into Marvel continuity.
Yeah.
I guess maybe make him an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. I don't know. But they can't even take care of their own characters.
Well, they kind of already did that. That's pretty much the MCU Falcon.
Yeah. You know what? That's pretty much it. That's what they pretty much did to him.
Yeah.
And to a lesser degree, they kind of did that to Power Man. And not in the movies, not in the TV show, I mean, but in every other medium outside the comics. He's like, Power Man got his powers because his parents worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. And this, not the fact that he was in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He was experimented on. I guess that's a little too much for the kiddies out there.
Oh, you're talking about Luke Cage?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what they've done. I'm thinking of Wonder Man. Is it Wonder Man? What's the guy?
Wonder Man, Simon Williams.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yep.
You actually look at some of their sanitized origins. It's like, what is this? Don't even give them an origin. Just give them like from parts unknown. do the old wrestling thing.
Wonder Man must be one of the least used Marvel characters nowadays, because I know very little about him.
He's too, really, at the end of the day, he's too OP. He's just like Energy Man. That's all he does.
Right.
He's like energy coming out of his eyes. Like he's so ill-defined and nobody actually has given a time to. It's like Jack of Hearts is more memorable and has more definition than Wonder Man. And both of them are basically the same.
I miss those guys. I miss those weird off kilter Avengers.
Even if they're not that defined, yeah, exactly. Like they now, it's just, hey, the Avengers include everybody, so we can put Spider Man. Eventually, Wolverine will come back as an Avenger. Man.
I want the Swordsman. I want Jack of Hearts. Black Knight. I like those off kilter ones. They're what made it, because all throughout the Avengers history, it's been like Cap or Hawkeye, and then just a bunch of wacky fill-ins that they've been able to assemble, off the cuff.
Hawkeye was a wacky fill-in. That's the crazy thing. Hawkeye
was a wacky fill-in. I know, but it's really until the 90s that they had a steady roster that stayed the same for more than 5 issues in a row.
Yeah. And then you just like sort of switch people out. Like you had Crystal show up, Cersei, stuff like that.
It was like the Nexus for the Marvel Universe. Like, rather than being the core team book, it was more just the hardcore crossover channel before there were crossovers.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have what you had all the, I'd say all the important crossovers, but yeah, it's like that right there. It's, but that's back when Marvel knew what they were doing. Now, not so much. So.
Yeah. Anyway, no other news before we get into the topic at hand.
Other than just still selling the comic, I started my comic last week. Neon Trash still available now. I am keep on promoting it. I'll do whatever I have to make the money.
It's a great read. I enjoyed it greatly. There's one panel I my twisted little brain interprets a little weirdly.
But I want to know?
No, we'll talk about that after the show, maybe. Just so I don't want to put people off buying it.
Don't spoil it for people. No, not spoil it. Don't taint it for people, because that's what you do. You taint. It's like,
I don't taint. Hey,
this nice water. It's nice and tasty. And here you go.
You know what, guys? Buy the comic. I think you'll see the panel I'm talking about. Let's talk about it together behind Larry's back. Come, let me know when you read it. He's now thinking, which one is it?
No, I'm like, we'll get you. No, but what are we going to talk about today, my friend?
We're going to talk about you, Larry King. You've been such a busy boy of late. All I see online is you on live stream, is you on Twitter, rubbing shoulders with some very opinionated people in the comics industry. Larry, I want you to tell me, what in tarnation is going on in comics right now?
Ooh, well, right now, technically, because there's a multiple comics, the industry itself, comics, the medium, will exist and shall always exist. But the industry right now, as far as the do-it-yourselfers, the independently, financing, like taking it out of your own pocket to produce your comic book, the crowdfunding people, the corporate comics, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. There are multiple layers of corporate comics. I mean, it is kind of a hotbed right now, because apparently the Ethan Van Sciver, who I kind of liked for a bit, you didn't fall for it. Apparently, he's all for apparently now him and a bunch of these other, they call. They say comic skaters, like the comic skate movement is like something. It's like if you go to a comic book store, you go to somebody that isn't online and that doesn't have anything to do with this. Like you mention that to them, they're like, what? I don't care. It's like online, it'd be like a war raging, and you go outside and birds are chirping, the sun shining. Nothing matters. It's like
the end of the day. It's a bit of a storm in a teacup, but yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, apparently, Ethan Van Sciver's all for gatekeeping. That's a big thing about in this whole comics gatekeeping, preventing people from getting, you're a gatekeeper. It's like,
Oh, wait, are you saying gatekeeper or gaykeeper?
Gatekeeper.
Okay, just had to clarify.
Gatekeeper.
Okay.
G-A-T-E.
I believe either way, so, yeah.
The keeper of the gay. But he said he's all for that. He's all for gay. He had to explain himself. He's like, well, if I run a business, I don't want this, like no, dude, you quit DC. You made like $300,000 off your cyber fraud comic that looks whatever, but not my thing, but people love it, whatever.
Who's publishing that?
And he's doing it himself.
Oh, cyber fraud's all solo.
So him going,
oh, I thought it was like a Wildstorm joint or something.
Nope. That's all him, because he's collecting all the money, because he's writing it and illustrating it and I think even inking it and stuff
and
like that.
And when does he get sued by the Battletoads people?
He should get sued by Battletoads people. Battletoads rules, man.
I mean, it kind of looks like Battletoads even.
It is Battletoads. It's just like, hey, Battletoads with
Cyberfrogs.
You know, cybernetic enhancements. Like, the Battletoads just come in and with a big old boot and kick them in the face. But they're, this is bad. This is wrong. You know, these kind of people, I agree with, like, hey, keeping people out in purity tests. Like, okay, this, because I look at everybody as an island unto themselves. I create my own stuff. I don't want nobody to mess with me. I'm not going to mess with them. You want to do a comic that's basically pro-socialist, communist propaganda? Fine. I'm not going to buy it, but that's just the way it is. But these people say, we got to keep these people out of there. We got to stop them. This isn't corporations no more. You are a person unto yourself. You are making your own book. Mm. You're paying for your art colorist or whoever. This guy over here is doing his thing. This guy over here is doing his thing. And to say, we got to keep these people out of the community, because if you don't, they'll come in here and crap all over the floor and they'll give you a hard time. Like, it's not a home. It's a community. It's a concept. It's a state of mind. It's not a home.
What is the actual problem here? I still don't understand. Other than people are talking about a whole bunch of stuff.
Their problem is people that have that you basically a left-wing mindset, if not a socialist, communist mindset.
Yeah.
The same ones that supposedly ruining Marvel and DC, which probably they are. Maybe it's corporate decisions, bad editorial, whatever. Well, they come in, they'll ruin this too. It's like, unless they're coming into my home and messing with me and my art, and they're messing with you and your art, and you and your art team, if you're working as a team, then they can't mess with you. You telling some people, don't buy their stuff, shut them down, they're bad for this business. That's the problem. That right there, that's the problem. And that right there, I think, is one of the biggest things, not to mention the fact that these people that have a name outside of this little comics community, people have been working, making their comics for a couple of years now. I mean, you know, crowdfunding, you know, getting the word out there, doing multiple streams. Hey, this, you know, promotion, self-promotion. And here comes some guy who worked at Ethan Van Sciver. Just rolls in, eats up all the crowdfunding money. And it's happened. It's going to happen more and more and more. The fact where there are other people trying to get their money, get their books out there, they're going to get drowned out, because who wants to talk like, oh, look, this comic's a success, while this other person's over here busting their ass, you know, trying to get the book out there.
Yeah, but the option is there for any other indies to go work for a major and sell their soul, like Ethan did, and then do their own stuff. That's how most artists get known.
That used to be the thing. Exactly. That used to be the thing. Now it's like,
what are they complaining about?
Make this money.
Right.
What?
Well, what are they complaining about then? They're complaining because they have to work harder. They don't get a free ride.
No, you mean the truly indie people that are grinding?
Yeah.
No, the problem is they don't have that clout. They didn't, because these bigger names are coming in and slumming it.
Yeah.
So it's like gentrification. It's like, yes, this community can suck sometimes. This place not be the best in the world, but it's our place. And you people are coming in here and grabbing everything up and taking all the attention, taking everything else, because there's like no place else to go. And because it isn't like they have the connect where they can actually go up and do, you know, like to work at DC or Marvel and have those connections. And it's like, this is our, like, you're just visiting here. He always has the option to go back. Even though he quit DC, Van Sciver always has the option to go back or go work for somebody else because he has the connect. But the rest of these people, all they do is self-published work.
So
they don't have the interest in, so could, you know, working in the
LeBron James just quit the NBA and then join some local county team?
If the money was there, and problem is the money's there in the comics community.
Yeah.
But what's happening is too many crowdfunding projects are already starting to show the strain. Like, people getting kind of tired of seeing, like, hey, we're doing crowdfunding for this, we're doing crowdfunding for that. Because there's also two main ones. There's Kickstarter and there's Indiegogo. Kickstarter, you say, I want, Larry King is doing a Kickstarter of $300 for whatever comic coming out. If I don't hit that $300, the book doesn't come out. Mm-hmm. Indiegogo, same thing. As soon as I get $1, I could start taking money out of the account.
Right.
So what if I am the kind of person that, man, I like this money's coming in. I'm just going to pocket that money and put it, you know, not spend it towards what I said I was going to spend it towards. Mm-hmm. And then who's going to stop me? You know, ruin my, you know, kind of ruin my credibility, but That's look, money in my pocket.
There are several millennia behind patronage in the arts. I mean, that's the main way art's been created for the longest time, by people with money funding artists to create. And you look through the annals of art history, and there have been artists rorting that money since dot one. So I this isn't quite a new thing, nor should it be a surprise.
No, but back then, if you screwed with a duke or somebody that you're painting this or that, you'd have to worry about somebody coming for your head.
Oh, yeah. Or
at very least. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, take them to small claims courts. You know, it's a big difference.
And there are territories involved. I'm sure if I roared at a whole bunch of Yanks, there'd be a level of safeness for me to get away with it. It just means it'd be harder for me to do the next time.
Exactly. But there are a lot, but the problem with a lot of these people in the comics community I've seen is they're forgiving. They're way too forgiving for some people that they shouldn't be. It's where they're given, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they didn't mean to do this. Hey, we're all human. We make mistakes. They made a mistake. And I'm like, no. They screwed you for this much money and you're going to give them a second chance.
So regardless of who's doing it, whether they're established artists or indies, is the platform itself wrong? Do you have an issue with Kickstarter or Indiegogo or Patreon or any of these other crowdfunding sources?
Actually, I have kind of an issue with Patreon, because the problem with that is, I mean, you know, as I like to get paid for doing something. Hey, Larry, here's money for your book. Here's my book. Thank you for your money. There you go. I don't want somebody to pay me in advance and like, here, do something. I'm like, no. Like, I like actually have something to sell. It's like you go into a shop, and like eventually I'll get a piece of some bread, or I get some milk. I'm like, no, don't do that. Pay me for something I've done. Pay me, not this. And also, I don't want to feel like I owe somebody.
Patreon is more like what patronage used to be for artists. They'd be paid a stipend by a benefactor to just do what they do.
Yeah, see, that right there, it could work in, you know, some regards. I just can't do it. I couldn't.
So which one would you do, and why?
Well, you mean like any of those, like crowdfunding? Maybe Kickstarter, because that right there, even though like, oh, Kickstarter, they're left leaning and they won't promote books. I'm like, that's why you got to promote it yourself. You got to have a partially ingrained fan base, or people that will willing to pay money for your product. And I've been surprised at how many people and how many copies some of these people want. Like, it's blown me away. I've been supremely surprised at the amount of support I've seen for having like no real presence. Apparently I have bigger presence than I thought.
So you use Kickstarter for Neon Trash?
No. I will consider doing that in the future. But no, I did all this myself out of my own pocket.
Okay. So if you and I collaborated on a comic, I don't know, let's say something that involved you doing a lot of inking, lots of crowd scenes and such, would
I don't know why you'd do that to me. That would be horrible.
that would be horrible. Yeah,
that'd be
that'd be
satanic.
It would be. Would that be a platform you'd consider using? Or would you rather solo?
I'd rather give it a go as a, like, I look at the do it yourself.
He's getting choked up, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's, I told you, frog in my throat. Oh, but okay. I'd rather do it myself, do it yourself style, and do like kind of a walk before you run kind of thing.
Sure.
See, like, there's interest out there. As there's people saying, you know, trying to say to me, it's like, I was like, oh, you got to do the kick. Gotta do crowdfunding. I'm like, you don't have to do crowdfunding outright. Depends on what size the book you want to be. If it's going to be like a series, like 4-page stories or something along those lines, 4 or 5-page stories, you could do that as a do-it-yourself thing and see how well it goes. And if there's you can build interest for that, and if you have interest, then you can go for something bigger, something more, you know, higher quality offset printing, you know, with other stuff. But problem with a lot of that.
Oh, I was just going to say, you've done Neon Trash solo on your own. Do you mind if we talk some numbers about that, or would you rather keep that to yourself?
Well, okay, I printed up an initial 25. I've sold 24 of the 25.
Well, I just want to ask some questions, if I can. I think that are going to, I guess, delicately step around some answers, because you've got a business may want to run in the future.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask. If you had to put a dollar figure on materials only and printing process only, have you made those expenses back yet?
I made those expenses back within the first 4 hours before midnight Thursday.
Wow. Okay, so then if you were a traditional artist and added a further expense of on the clock, so however long it took you to make it from woe to go to finished product, if you were an artist getting paid by the hour, have you made those expenses
it'd be
back?
It'd be pennies on the dollar. That's the problem.
Okay, let's not say that. Let's say you're on the clock for any other job that you do. For the time invested, have you made that expense back?
No, but I have not. I will say that much.
Okay, so then theoretically speaking, even though you've made back way more than what you spent on it, if this were a commercial venture, you haven't broken even yet.
If it was where I had, if I was being paid by time and for writing, penciling, lettering, inking, it'd be like a cent per day at that much, because it took me forever to do this, because it was I freely admit I'm not used to working at a bigger size, because this was even though it was a digital file, it was equivalent of a standard comic book page. I'm so used to working at a small in mini comic size chick tracked. Something where you can maybe do four panels tops, and you have to keep everything nice and tight and very brief, short, and to the point. This was 16 pages, fully inked, lettered, and in varying panel configurations, like these button panels I love doing. It's like how to show, like, if you're showing a punch, you don't have to show a full big old square panel. You just show the punch and whatever around it.
Yeah.
Like certain stuff like that. But considering I was doing commissions on the side in between this, and also I went through 4 different planned stories before I got to that point. That story, one took place on the alien world. One story was an origin, and the other one was alien world. One was basically a remake of the movie Soldier with Kurt Russell, Paul W.S. Anderson film.
Yep.
And then the other, the origin, of course, which was technically a prequel to that, her getting dumped on the planet of trash. And then the third was she is basically a marshal sheriff, but she's on a stripper pole when you first meet her, and then she goes and takes out some bad guys. Yeah. So that's basically the three previous stories that I had completely thumbnailed out.
Yeah.
So I put a lot of thought into this. It's like, that's 48 thumbnail pages plus covers and other stuff. Covers are to me very important. So
to twist your words against you, you've explained to me my fundamental flaw with the Kickstarter Indiegogo method, in that if you were doing this job with a payroll, you wouldn't have come close to breaking even. Yet.
Oh, no. Oh, of course not. Because that right there, this right here, why I could never be a corporate artist. I never could be a commercial creator.
But I think
it's the time-consuming nature of it.
Yeah. And I think that's where Kickstarter undersells comics for a little bit. Like, that's where it kind of goes against the grain, because you've got a living that you need to eke out. You've got basic, obligations to those you need to pay around you, to yourself, to your loved ones, that need to be factored in and met. These are hours that you are not working. These are hours that you're not doing other things. Coincidentally, this is something that you love doing. And that's what I love about a lot of things that I do, is that I don't do them out of a commitment or a drive to sell. I do it for my own enjoyment. Whereas I find Kickstarter inherently, unless you're talking thousands of dollars, inherently undersells the artistic product.
Yeah, that right there, I think the only reason I would probably use Kickstarter, if like, I would not approach it if I wasn't, didn't have a product already done.
Yeah.
And like, is basically just paying for the printing. Like, you know, like, hey, this is the book. This is what's going to happen. Here, you're just basically paying for the book, the printing. Because a lot of Kickstarter stuff, like, you have these goals and, like, different tiers. Like, oh, get the poster, get the t-shirt. I hate that stuff. I never use that. Just give me the book. Just give me the print book that I can have in my hands that isn't $25, $30, $40 plus shipping, and especially international, because they screw people. Because that's – I haven't had anybody international because you got the PDF, but there are, if in my international, I just have to go down to the post office and say, hey, how much is, you know, international shipping on this?
Yeah.
And if it's like, in, because the size, it isn't that big. It's not a big comic. It's about a manga comic size. And yes, it's only 16 pages, but I think it's pretty dense. I figure it's paying for your buck. Also, you're paying, you know, one creator instead of a corporation, you know, and, you know, I figured, you know, we're willing to pay a little bit more. And I was right, because if I'd start charging more, then we might have a problem on my hands, so I wasn't moving that many.
Yeah.
But in doing so, like that kind of the crowdfunding thing, it's like people like, oh, here's a 48-page book. We want $25 plus shipping and handling for it. That's a bad precedent set. When you go into a comic shop, you already go to a comic shop. Here's a comic. Here's $20 for a comic. It's only like floppy.
How much did Gail Simone charge for Leaving Metropolis, whatever it was called?
Megalopolis, I think it was $25. I could look it up.
And that was only a 48-pager, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something along those lines. Well, it was actually a hardcover. That's the thing. That's what made me so angry, because when I was like, oh, it's a hardcover, so I assumed it would be a complete story, kind of like one of those, or, you know, the French comic albums, where there's the whole story under one cover, and that is one of the most disappointing things about that book, and also the fact that it got picked up by IDW, when I do a Kickstarter, or, you know, support a Kickstarter, I'm supporting that creator. I don't want to be a wing of some corporation that's like, okay, we got to do a Kickstarter to prove that the book was popular enough, and then we'll pick it up. Like, if you have the clout, the book gets picked up. The company takes the hit and takes the chance and risk on you.
Well, no, not this. That's the evil that's happening now, is that the companies are using these indie means to hedge their bets.
Yeah. And that right there, that's the problem. And it's, they're out of Vermont. It's pretty much run by one guy. Now, him doing his thing, Peter Ciametti, him doing his thing, I have no problem, you know, with, you know, like, you know, I have no problem with him doing crowdfunding. They're so small, and pretty much he's kind of like an image. Like, they're just public. He publishes the books, but they're not, you know, like, he just publishes them.
It's breaking up quite a bit, Larry. Just letting you know.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's not you. It's not you. It's just our connection is unusually sketchy tonight. Who is this you're talking about that is in Vermont on his own?
Peter Ciametti.
Okay.
But he does, but pretty much publishes books by other people. They own all the creators own the copyright of their books. He just puts the books out. He does a newsprint and like the old style comics, newsprint paper with the glossy cover, but that's it.
What I'd give, Larry, to have a comic of mine printed in the old ways.
Yeah, well, and it's all printed in America, of all places. Believe it or not. No not way. Printed in China or Canada, but in America.
Hoorah.
And I just looked it up. Leaving Megalopolis, this is the crazy part.
Mm.
Like, as much as I can't really stand Gail, at times, well, more than at times, the book was 80 pages, a hardcover, and only cost $15 plus shipping and handling.
And it came with a digital copy, which you generously shared with me.
Yes, it did. And that right there, even though it's like volume one, it says Leaving Megalopolis. It doesn't say Leaving Megalopolis volume one. It just says Leaving Megalopolis. And like the more you look into books, there's a lot of people like to spoil what happens in their books and kind of like give too much information away. And so I was like, I don't want to look into it any further. If I had, I probably would have been known that it was like, oh, it was going to be a, you know, continuing series. So that was the downside. So yeah, 80 pages, $15 plus shipping and handling. That's a better deal than most of these people are doing today because they know they can make.
And it's a quick read. I got to give her credit. 80 pages went like 48.
Yeah. So that right there, that's a problem I have with a lot of this stuff. But yeah, you're right. With, you know, the time I put into Neon Trash, if I was getting paid, you know, an hourly wage, like I would not, no, that would, you know, hourly or completion rate, how many pages were got completed? Yeah, it wouldn't pay back. But
no.
I love what I
did. There are Spanish only speaking dish pigs in diners earning more than you.
yeah. That's. But
is dish pig a derogatory term over there?
I never heard of it. I know what you're talking about.
It's a colloquial term for. Basically, someone hired just to do menial kitchen-based jobs in a cafe or diner, usually just washing dishes. It's an Australian type thing. So I didn't mean any inference and any offense to any.
He did, folks. He did.
No, I don't. I just wanted to put that out there to any of our listeners out there, and any of mi hermanos out there.
No, he's trying to be street. He's trying to be down with them. I look at it this way. There are people that can do that Kickstarter stuff. They can do that crowdfunding and like, but their really only talent is raising money.
Yeah.
And like artistically they're devoid of it. And it's like, okay. And you know what? Like I used to be like, I shouldn't be unhappy for people making money. Now I'm like, you know, I shouldn't be happy for them either. It's like, I shouldn't. Like, why should I be happy? Some guy's making money because this book looks horrible, and you know, like that kind of stuff, or gal for that matter. Because it's like, you know, not Gail, but gal, but you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, why should I be happy for these people that, you know, I feel like they're grifting people, but whatever. You know, that's, you know, I'm not going to tell you, you better not buy that, never speak to me again. But, I don't know. I just love doing what I do. And like, yes, hopefully I can get better at it and keep at it and make more money.
So quickly, before we wrap up, I did see a tweet of yours, which I was very curious about earlier today. You said something about the gatekeepers of comic shops will become the gatekeepers of comics themselves.
No, what happened is this. I'd previously seen, now granted this happens when you have any person with any kind of personality or higher, you know, Van Sciver and Reston people I consider are extremely douchey. You have something called the High Council where they're them and their buddies, oh, they get together and do their streams. They're the High Council. Like their verdict is God. Yeah, they're doing it as a joke, but you're still doing it.
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey man, we're just doing around. We're not gay, but you're doing a gay act. That's gay.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it. It's like you act like you're fascist. End up being, you know, we're just joking. It's just a joke, man. You know, so I was like, the gatekeepers will eventually become, those fight the gatekeepers will eventually become the gatekeepers. And there's a guy who's like, no, that won't happen. And he puts a little smiley face. Well, a couple hours later, this thing came out where a person was saying, like, Van Sciver didn't mean it by that. Being gatekeepers is horrible, the bad idea. And he's like, Van Sciver's like, nope, you're wrong. And so it's like he's, you know, so he's all for it. Like if you're not ideologically pure and all this, that's what I was saying. And there's like, it's kind of a divisive nature right now. And I kind of love it. It's like, I feel like Nero playing the fiddle. It's Rome burns. It feels good. Watch the white man. Yes, born in fire. Yeah. But it's, you know, it feels good because these people, they don't realize how, like they are and how like they got that I guess that the airs about them, because like, oh, they're kind of like the high society of this whatever community this comics community is, like on Twitter especially, that nobody cares about outside Twitter. That's the thing.
Is it heightened because they've left mainstream comics as small fries?
And made so much money. And made so much money too. That's the other thing.
But they've also been, by no means been the big guns of big comics.
No. And yet, they never could be.
They've said it by jumping down into a lower league. They've made themselves.
They become gods.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they basically become, and if not financially, they just have that, oh, wow. Like, people are so foolish. It's like false idols. It's like, well, there's a comic creator that isn't a prick to me. That's nice to me. Like, just because they're nice does not make them, just because they're nice interactions wise does not make them the God's greatest thing ever. You know, but that's my personal.
People should be more nice, but yeah, that's my opinion.
That's what happens. You lower your standards so much, like your expectations are so low. When somebody's nice to you, it's like a pile of trash. That pile of trash didn't stink. It's a great pile of trash. It's like what are you talking about? It's like, this is crazy. But this is why you don't lower. See, I have standards, folks. I have standards, and that standards, yes, will bite me on the ass more than one occasion, but they're my standards, damn it. But yes, you if you don't, you know, you sometimes when you fight the things you hate, you become the things you hate. That's why monsters should exist in this world, to fight other monsters, but then those monsters that exist should understand they got to die. you don't get to come back. You don't get to be saved. You have to go away to fight those people. But that's my personal philosophy on that.
Fair enough. Standards being an interesting thing from the guy that just watched Condor Man, but yeah.
No, not Condor Man. I didn't watch it. I had to draw it, and that was no fun.
Oh, so you only used photo reference, did you?
But yeah, just used photo. Thank God for Google. Right. Thank God for Google. So,
fair enough. But, all right. So thank you so much for explaining that to us.
Happy to do so.
I really appreciate that. We'll wrap up to last week. Thanks for the positive response from a lot of viewers, or viewers, listeners. I really appreciate that. It encourages me to keep on with music, as I'm sure Larry feels about his art. I wanted to also thank one listener, Travis, for sending in his music to share with us. Larry and I both enjoyed listening to it. There was one I think called Paths. I don't have the list in front of me, the tracks. It was the third track you sent, which I thought was the standout there. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us, and the same goes for you. If you've got any art that you'd like to share with us, by all means send it through. We're always keen to see what our listeners are up to. Hell, we make you watch and listen to our stuff. It's only fair that we reciprocate. Larry, anything else you wanted to add?
I was about to say, are you insinuating we torture people with our content? We make you. Do you see?
Look, I'm not saying we start torturing people or start serial killing or anything like that. But it's really up to you. If you guys want to share, we'd love to hear from you.
All I gotta add is I hope that the comic keeps selling even after 4th of July, because I was like, oh yeah, that's right, everybody's on vacation this week. But I'm surprised I'm doing this well, considering everybody here in the States are going on vacation to the beach and this and that and lakes or wherever they live because of the 4th of July holiday. So as America celebrates her independence, they also get very forgetful about, hey, buy this comic. So hopefully the push will keep going until I keep making more money. The money. So yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
Cool. Well, with that being said, we'll wrap it up there. Ladies and gentlemen, hit us up on Twitter. At Larry King Undead, at Antonio Sincholo. You can hit us up on Facebook as well as podcast at kingfrequency.com. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Game Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.